Welcome to the Man Up Podcast.
I'm Winston Wolf. I solve problems.
A spiritual oasis for men. We're not pastors, just regular guys.
Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
So, for the uncommon man, created by equally uncommon men, this is Man Up.
Hi, good evening, guys. Welcome to the Man Up Podcast. We're here in Sugarland, Texas, at Sugarland Baptist Church, just outside of Houston, Texas. We're an all-men's group here. We discuss our current lesson that we're going through in our Sunday school class. Right now, we're going through a book called Connect 360. And the basic premise for the book is called Called to Serve. And we're on the last lesson here for this book. And so we're at the Attitude of Service. Should be a great discussion. We have a couple of guys here tonight. We're a little light. We've got our normal guy, Steve Titch, is still out recovering at home from a fall that he had. But he's doing all right, and he's back at home recuperating. And then our director, Bill Cox, is out again tonight. Or I say again, it's probably his first or second one total to ever miss.
Not counting vacation, yeah.
All right, maybe three.
Yeah, he's missed three.
Three out of 29 or so. He had a prior work commitment. So I'm Kyle Trahan. I am a general sales guy working in the Medicare world. And we have Robert Koshu here. He is a trainer with AIG, corporate trainer there. We also have Michael Cropper, the Crime Stopper, apparently. He is a prosecutor from the city of Houston here. So we do bring a lot of different backgrounds and thought processes to this panel, so we have a pretty good stuff. Robert, why don't you go ahead and say hi and give your thoughts on this week's lesson of Attitude of Service.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. Robert Koshu back again. Glad to be here. This is our last lesson in Called to Serve, and it really comes down to, at the end of the day, when we're looking at Christian service, the attitude of service, which is what this lesson's going to be about. Yeah. And got a couple of interesting thoughts, kind of looking forward to it. This is going to be really fun.
Michael? I'm Michael Cropper. Kyle Trahan has introduced us, and of course we missed Mr. Colorful Bill Cox doing the open, but Kyle did a great job. We're pleased with it. Kyle, thank you. The whole book that we've been studying, as Kyle mentioned, is all about service. Folks, and you're quite familiar with service everywhere you go, whether you have your car worked on, whether you go to a restaurant and you're served by a waiter or waitress, and whether or not you give a tip, you refine that tip depending on the character and the attitude, like Robert said, of how they treat you at the restaurant. And that reminds me, I was just at the restaurant with someone over the weekend, and the waitress at that restaurant was very, very slow. Well, I like to show my appreciation to people who wait and do well on me at a restaurant when I'm eating. And this person was just exceptionally slow, not once, not twice, but maybe 10 out of 13 times. So I need to say my tip was not that great, but this whole time of service that we're talking about is serving the Lord and representing Him when we're out and with other people and in practically everything we do. And it even affects your family. I think Bill had made that point back a couple podcasts back, that how you treat your children, your wife, it starts with them so much that today's lesson has to do, and we look at Christ Himself as being the perfect example for humility and how we treat others. So I'm looking forward to it too, Robert.
Wow. Well said. Robert, why don't you go ahead and pray us in and then read the scripture for us.
All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to come together and discuss service and discuss what it means to serve with the proper attitude.
Mm, yes.
Be with our missing members, Father. We give you praise for Steve's recovery.
Yes.
And we're glad he's safe, and we pray you continue to heal him and make him better. We ask these things in your son's Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves.
Yes.
Each one of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Feels like an amen should be there.
Yeah, well, and okay, it's funny you mention that. That very last part, that your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, and then I read the rest of it. Mm-hmm. That was actually, from our best assessment, an actual hymn in the early church. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure it rhymes. It does not rhyme in this. I'm sure in Greek it rhymed. Or in Aramaic at a bare minimum.
Aramaic or Hebrew.
But it does not rhyme in our language. But yeah, it actually was a hymn in the church. And so I thought it was kind of interesting that Paul chose that to actually put it in there. It's one of the earliest examples we have as a hymn in our church. So.
One of my favorite lines in that whole thing is, you know, verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's so hard to do. You know, sometimes we talked about it on Sunday, you know, you have a task and grumble, moan, but it's not with the attitude of Christ. And that's what is so hard
and
to remember.
Especially for us as men. Mm-hmm. And I'll take that because we are, Western men in particular, in our capitalistic society, and I'll throw, Mike's from Houston, I'm from Houston, so we're both from Texas, Kyle, you're from Louisiana.
Hey, I was born in the Heights.
Okay, but Southern men, or Texan men in particular, we're very task-oriented men.
Yes,
more so than a lot of others even. You know, we are incredibly task-oriented. Don't get in our way. Don't mess with us. Mm-hmm. I have A, B, C,
Bull
D to
do. Bull in the China shop kind of mentality half the time.
Very much so.
Just don't get in my way. I'll knock you over.
Mm-hmm. And so I think that, when you get down to talking about the attitude of Christ, that's really what it comes to from. It comes down to is, how do we do that as we move forward with it?
One of the scriptures you read, which is, to me, were you through? Did I interrupt you?
No.
Okay, good. Okay, number 3. Verse 3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. First of all, how would we define selfish ambition? Just throwing that out. And then vain conceit, too. I mean, the author has a point on it here, but I'm just curious. Does that strike you guys, anything that comes to mind when you think of vain?
But I mean, when you're serving people, you're not supposed to be thinking of what am I going to come away with from this experience.
Benefit? Uh-huh.
What benefit?
Uh-huh.
That's a great word. You know, you know, other than I'm going to feel good. I'm going to feel better about myself from doing this. Other than that.
So automatically we go to material things or something that benefits us first. Versus the other person, right?
Yeah.
Well, and when you look at leadership from a sacrifice, and there John Maxwell in his book Laws of Leadership talks about the law of sacrifice. And he talks about leaders, and most people think of, when I become a leader, I get all these rights. I don't have to work as much. I get to say, Mike, I need you to do this. Kyle, I need you to do that. Mm-hmm. And I sit back. Mm-hmm. And so I don't have any rights. And I actually have fewer responsibilities because all I do is delegate.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't really work. I delegate my stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And John Maxwell says it's actually the opposite. You gain all the responsibility and you lose all the rights. And I think that kind of hints at the selfish ambition. is there are leaders who they will move forward and do whatever because their whole goal is to get power and do kingdom building for their part of the company. You know, all report to me, I control it all kind of thing. Versus the guys who are in it, and maybe sometimes you do belong in a China shop, but are you doing it because this is what needs to be done for the good of the company? And I think every time you need to get to the point where you have to go in training world and talent development, we call it go red. Red is a very direct approach. If you go red, my response always is, and people say, should you ever go red? Yes, absolutely you should. Mm-hmm. But before you go red, in particular if you're a Christian, you take a step back and you go, okay, am I doing this because this needs to be done for the company, for the right reasons, and am I not looking to gain something out of it? Mm-hmm. In other words, if I gain something out of it, at a work perspective in particular, it has to be simply almost anecdotal that I'm going to get something just because. Mm-hmm. But if I'm going red because I need me to improve, I need this to happen, I need that to happen, that's the wrong reason. And I think that's where selfish ambition comes in.
Right.
I don't think ambition, and we'll talk about this a little bit, I don't think ambition's bad.
No,
in fact, you have to have ambition, don't you?
Yes.
If you don't, you're stagnant.
Yeah. You know, you always, you know, my kind of joke about myself, and I've kind of joked at work about this with people, and they're like, you know, because they'll come up and they're like, oh, you're so good at this, and you know how to do that. And I said, the only thing I know is I'm smart enough to know how stupid I am. Mm-hmm. I'm smart enough to realize where my limits are, what my boundaries are, and when I get against them, okay, I don't keep plying forward. Stop for a minute. Let me go read something. Let me go study a little bit. Let me figure out. That's the ambition you're talking about.
Yes. You know, I just have to say I admire when guys are able to even admit they don't know everything. You know, that's something that we as guys sometimes have trouble with that. I do not. I'm like you.
Yeah.
I am smart enough to know I am not the smartest guy in any room.
Yes.
I'm smart. I know that. I've been tested. I did good. It had to be a fluke, I'm telling you. But, you know, I do not have a problem telling anyone.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Let me go find that for you. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm that guy. I am going to go diligently look and research and do my homework. But just like I said, I just want to commend you on saying that because is a big part of being a guy too.
We hit it a couple of weeks ago. Bill jokes I'm a world-class trainer, and I am actually a certified trainer. I hold currently the highest training certification in my field. But I had to go eat a little crow a couple of weeks ago. We had a major project, and I overestimated something in that project that our people were doing. Mm-hmm. And I went to one of our VPs, and I said, I am so sorry. She goes, why? I'm like, because I failed training 101. And she goes, what'd you do? I said, I overestimated the way this was working in our company, and I didn't analyze the current situation, and that's number one you're supposed to do. And she goes, seriously, you do not need to throw yourself under the bus for this. I said, yeah, I do. I missed it.
I'm mad at myself, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's really, you know, that's really what it boils down to. God, Robert gets an attitude if you find something wrong with this training. And somebody laughs and they say, he's not mad because you found it. He's mad because it got in there on him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sometimes we're harder on ourselves than anybody else.
Oh, God.
Definitely.
I did a really dumb mistake the other day. Or a week or two ago, I went to a client's house, and they were kind of cluttered in their home. I left my laptop sitting at his home. Mm-hmm. We couldn't get Wi-Fi. I'm out in the middle of nowhere. It's an hour and 45-minute drive from Houston to his home.
Wow.
So after I
And you didn't discover you missed it till when?
Oh, until I got back to Houston and started pulling my bag out for my next thing. Fortunately, my next thing did not need it, but immediately after, I had to turn right back down, head down south for another 3-hour excursion, basically round
hour
trip.
45 there, hour 45 back.
And I come in the house, and I didn't say much, but you know, Sarah said something to me, and I grumbled and moaned and She goes, "Were you mad?" I said, "Yes, I'm stinking mad at myself."
Absolutely.
Yep, because absolutely. I screwed something up that was so easily avoidable. And it was a beautiful drive, by the way. I love driving in the country. That's beside the point. But it was just such a stupid mistake. And that goes for something as little as what that is simply just leaving something behind versus something that is drastic miss in our career, that this is my job. Yes. And that holds so much more even.
Well, Mike, does that maybe, so selfish ambition, I think we talked about, was not making sure you don't go red for the wrong reasons to mail somebody over.
I would agree.
Is maybe the second part, the vain conceit, what we're talking about now, you think? You know, that you don't hold yourself.
I think vain conceit, let's start with conceited. Conceited thinks you think you're special, right? You think you're better than the person next to you, more than likely. And vain would be means it's an empty conceit, I'm thinking, right?
Vain is empty. That's a really good point.
Yeah, yeah.
I see somebody over there going, "Hey, look at me, I'm serving. I'm serving over here."
Serving.
That's what, it doesn't matter what they're serving.
Doesn't matter what
they're over there. That's the vain conceit that I see. Look at me. Because vanity, you're looking at yourself.
Yeah.
So you're, and you know, conceited, you think everybody else should love you as much as you love you.
Yeah.
The, you know, the to politician, me. That's right. the politician, and I will not name any names or parties or anything else, but the politician that, and we've seen this on both sides, where they show up at the food line, the cameras are on, they're passing stuff out, the cameras turn off, they immediately stop and walk away.
Well, that's right. Perfect example.
That, you know, where...
That's exactly right.
And in those cases, I think you're both selfish ambition and vain conceit at the same time. Versus taking the time to really serve and do whatever with people and spend time with them.
Well, and for those that have a camera on them, it's not even knowing the camera is there.
Right.
Yeah.
Just do what you're doing and serve as you're there to serve. Regardless of what anybody else is going to do around you.
And the verse 4 says that each of you look not at your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Now, it doesn't say completely ignore your own interests, but look at the interests of others. And I noticed that, and I thought at first, I'm supposed to give up everything I have to humble myself to help others. But it doesn't say that. It just says keep things in perspective, right? It keeps things. Keep yourself humble. Keep yourself sober. Don't be so uppity or whatever, as we said, vain, that you overshadow the other people. Right? I mean, you can be happy that you did something, but do it in a modest way or in a humble way. And
do it in a modest way. I think do it in a modest way and an humble way both. But also, I really do think it comes back to what you guys said. It's attitude. And you talked about service.
I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah. One of the things I do customer service training. That's one of the big training things I work on is customer service.
Now, we're talking about, just for the people who don't know may not know exactly what that means, does that mean you train employees to answer the phone?
Yeah, how to answer the phone. And the technical part is, this is the balance of your account and those kinds of things. But how do you say it? So, for example, you know, one of my favorite stories I tell all my people, we talk about death claim calls. So people will have to call my company and say, "A client, my mom has passed. She had a policy with you. I need to write the claim." And so we tell our employees, you need to have empathy on the call. And tell them again, how do you do that? Well, you have to say the right words, and it may be, "So sorry for your loss." It may be, you know, "I understand this is a hard time for you."
Yes.
Anything along those ways, but you can't just say, it's not just about the words. It's about the way you say it. And one of my favorite stories I tell to every class, so I sit in the middle of our people that listen to our calls. We have people that listen to our calls, score them, and then coach them, try to raise their customer service aptitude.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, one of my favorite calls is I'm sitting there listening, and this is the conversation went, "Well, John, I took off 10 points here because you didn't show any empathy on the call." And the employee looks at the quality coach, I did too. I said that I was sorry for their loss. And she goes, okay, let's play the call. And this is exactly how it sounded. You know, welcome to, may I have your, and my name is, and this lady was almost on the verge of tears.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I'm at the hospital and my mom just passed away. And literally, our employee literally did, I'm so sorry for your loss. May I have your mom's? And tried to get her policy number.
Rolled right into it.
And I was like, you know, and I about come unglued at my desk just listening to the call, because I'm just like, I just kind of want to almost go over and slap the guy, because he's sitting there arguing, oh no, I showed empathy because I used the right, it's not about using the right words.
That's right.
And it comes back to the service piece. It comes back to what you said. It's all about the attitude and the way you approach it.
And your body language, your voice.
Absolutely.
I mean, even if... Folks, you can almost see a person's attitude on the phone, right?
Oh, gosh,
yes. You definitely
When you're smiling, you can see a person smiling. Yeah.
Our joke is, let them hear your smile.
Yes.
Yes.
There's actual physiological studies that show that the tone of your voice improves when you actually smile.
Wow.
On the phone. So, I mean,
It is in the attitude. I don't think of what you do for your job and what you're training your people for, and, you know, you just set a new light, because we just don't think of that end, what your incoming call is about. I was on the call with a lady the other day. I have an appointment with her on Halloween, on the 31st.
Okay.
During our conversation, she said that she lost her daughter 2 years ago. On the 30th.
Right, okay.
You know, and I, of course, told her I was sorry for her loss, you know, however I said it. And, you know, we were in a whole other conversation. That's not what it was about. When we hung up the phone, I wrote a sympathy letter to her, and I'm going to bring it to her, because you could tell in her voice that she was still struggling with that loss 2 years later.
Yeah, I was going to say, and this is going to be close to it. It's the hard time of year.
I don't even have kids. I have no earthly clue, and I wrote that in the letter. We don't have children. I have no idea what it is to lose a child that you have raised.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and she's in her 60s. It was probably, 2 years ago, so the girl was probably in her 30s or 40s.
30s or 40s, yeah.
You know, so it's not just that. And but it was that attitude. It was, you know, immediately I knew I needed to do that, you know, for her.
Absolutely.
Hope it goes over well, you know, that she takes it in the right light that it's meant.
I'm sure she will. But and then it comes down here. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort in his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. Mm-hmm. And it's really, those kind of fall along with what we've talked about before as far as the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
And what we're going to be engaging and called to show other people. And it really, you know, Christ is our example, so we really need to be encouragers and comforters and showing fellowship to people and tenderness and compassion. And, you know, we can all talk about that. That's... From a guy's perspective, that's one of the hardest things we have to do.
And this is indicating we do it more than just, I mean, we do it a lot more than we think we would as men. Right?
Yes.
I mean, I hear exactly what you're saying, but I have to make myself do it. I have to make myself do that and comfort and listen to people when they are hurting, like you said, and make myself do that. But I mean, of course, after you do a while, I'm sure you can do it, but... Me as an attorney and as a man for the longest time, I had trouble being sympathetic.
Well, and sometimes it's not just sympathy. Sometimes it's not trouble being sympathetic. I know in my relationship with my wife will come home with a problem from work, and my job is to sit and listen to that problem.
Exactly.
But I'm a guy, and all day long, people come up to me and. Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then my job is go fix that problem.
Yeah.
And so, same for me.
Yeah. Okay. And so when my wife comes to me with a problem, whatever it may be, work, family, whatever, well, here's what you need to do.
That's right.
It's kind of my reaction.
Immediately. Before she's finished talking, you already have the answer for her. And
because I worked it out while she was talking.
Yeah, exactly. And that's so hard to turn off.
Exactly.
You know, it is the thing that. As men in a relationship with a woman, that we have to try and learn, and I know it's a daily lesson for most of us.
That would be hourly. Better, I own that.
Better stated. Yes, that's true.
That's right.
You know, I know I'm the same guy, and you know, I do pretty good. You can ask my wife, but I know so many times it just rolls out of your mouth. You don't even realize you're doing it.
Yes.
It's up. There's the solution.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wait. Let me roll that back in because I didn't actually mean to say that. You didn't want me to say that. Oops. You know.
Yeah.
But I think that's something, you know, as guys, we do have to remember to show that compassion and that love. Because that is, as we said, Mike, that, and I think, and you alluded to it, you know, coming from your perspective, that is something that's really, really hard to do.
Yes.
As a guy, especially, you know, we're just wired not to be that way.
No, that's it exactly. And the illustration he uses, folks, if you stop and think and you go back and look at it, you took Jesus Christ, who was, before he was the Christ, he was one with God. Mm-hmm. He was majesty. He was the ultimate, with his Father being the head of the universe. And he gave all that and came down here. He gave up for the purpose of dying for our sins on the most horrible death and the most humiliating way he could have ever died. And when we step into that, then we should maybe have just a little sense of reality. And there, that example is used for us in the method in which we are supposed to humble ourselves in
yes.
the same way. I don't know that I could ever do that. I don't know that I could ever submit to the cross and die for a child or something like that. But the point is the picture is so vivid
right.
that we're supposed to use as an illustration for us to be
servants. And it's funny. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who's my favorite author, and we've talked about many times in here, his most famous book is The Cost of Discipleship. And he literally says in there that when Christ calls a man, he bids him to come and die.
Yes.
And we're literally called to die to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And put other people first.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, a lot of times, that does get really difficult.
Yes.
And that's really, when you get down to it, that's really the attitude of service we have to have.
Yes, it is.
Is to get that down and work through it. So.
Yeah, you said something a second ago that you don't know if you could die on the cross or humble yourself for that. And again, I said it earlier tonight, I don't have children. Are you telling me that any one of your kids, you're given that choice, you or them?
I think when the time, it's a great question. There's two things we're looking at here, physical death, with which we may or may not be afraid of, and then the dying to self in our spirit and our attitude, which
yes.
is what Robert brought up so good. I think, coming back to that, Kyle, which I brought up, and I said, I think if the time came and I had to die for one of my children, I think I could. I think the Holy Spirit
now,
will come all
over
you.
Don't you think that's where Jesus was?
Exactly. You
God looked at him and he said, you or them?
Yes.
Yeah. And
so I'll do it.
Yes. And then we come back to what Robert is stressed, and that's our daily life. We actually die to living for ourselves in order to humble ourselves to other people and look at others higher regard than ourselves.
And I think, do those two somewhat, we think, do they go hand in hand? Is that willing to lay down the physical life part, does that go hand in hand at some point with this attitude of service?
Yes.
You know, I think that's something.
Oh, no question. Yeah, yes. No question. That's exactly what Paul is telling us to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's to lay down our life daily. Did I interrupt you?
No.
One thing, one statement here, folks. We're going to be wrapping up before here long. The author of this book, and by the way, again, we're looking at the Baptist Way Press Connect 360. I don't see the author's name on the
many authors.
Four men: Bob DeFore, Brian Harbour, Diane Swaim, and Dennis Wiles. The author in this particular lesson says, Jesus did not relinquish the possession of deity, but he relinquished the expression of deity. And instead of expressing himself in the glory of his deity, Jesus chose to express himself in the humility of a servant. And in so doing, he illustrated the attitude of humility that Paul called on the Philippian Christians to do as well. And we were called to do that, folks. And that's why this last lesson regarded and illustrated our servanthood, or to be servants, using Christ as an example.
And, well, it did, and I think that's why Paul put the what we know now as was a first century hymn in there.
That's correct.
You know, we use music all the time as emphasis points, as something, you know, I love music. You know, one of the conversations God and I get to have when I get to heaven is, why do I love music, but I have like zero, I have less than zero musical talent. I have none. You know, but music is a big part of all of our lives because it molds into us. It's a part of us. And I think that's one reason why Paul used this hymn. Because it was something that was known to everybody and it expressed what he was trying to talk about having the right attitude. And really expressed, you know, that Christ humbled himself. And really, like you said, he was exalted with God, came down and became human being. As a part of it.
Well, great discussion. Where are we at here, guys? It looks like we're right on time short podcast tonight. Want to thank you for listening in. Again, this is the Man Up Podcast. We're on what? You got us on Twitter.
We're on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at Man Dash Up. On Facebook at Man Up Sugarland, and we are on SoundCloud and iTunes for our podcast.
So find us anywhere. You can always find it on our Facebook running around and share it a bunch of times. So if you have any questions or comments, you can certainly shoot us something on our Facebook page and we'll address it the next week. Next week we are moving into a new book. It's under the same thing, the Connect 360 book guidelines, and it's Going Viral, The Birth and Advance of the Church, and it looks like it's pretty much through Acts, so should be some pretty good stuff.
This will be good discussion.
Yeah, the beginning of the church.
I used to think we could find something boring and we couldn't talk much about it until we got to Genesis and blew that theory completely out of the water, so.
There you go. So, you know, we're looking forward to it. Again, we're here at Sugarland Baptist Church. You can always join us here room 230 at 1105 for our Sunday session here. Other than that, Mike, why don't you pray us out, and we're going to say goodnight.
All right, folks, you have a great week. Thank you for joining us. And as Bill always says, of course, if you are in a church somewhere and you want to... I guess experiment, start a men's class if your church doesn't have a men's class. It's one of the reasons I'm attending here, and all of us just thoroughly enjoy it. Okay, let's pray, folks. Thank you so much, Lord, for this time together. Thank you for a chance to share your word and look at it as we see it in our lives and try to present it in a way that will honor you and glorify you and honor Jesus. And go with everybody this week. Thank you for the people joining in. Bless their lives. Give us all servants' hearts to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to Man Up.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Dedicated to the uncommon man, created by equally uncommon men.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
You can contact us on Facebook under Man Dash Up. Post questions, and we'll answer them right here on the Man Up Podcast.